There's a lot in that story. To me, this is an interesting spot in the journey of Jesus. We spent several weeks getting ready for his birth. We prepared. We spent time thinking through all of the prophecy that led to his birth. There's a little story right after his birth in Luke about a presentation in the temple, and then here we are, right at 12, middle school, everybody's favorite years. I don't know about you, but I suspect that if you had a choice, you might omit a lot of the stories that you lived out when you were that age. You might not want to lift them up and share them with the world. It's kind of like on a camera roll. You might have nice baby pictures and things when everything was cute. And then you leave out a few generations. And then you come back when things are a little fully developed, a little more cooked. Jesus didn't have that opportunity. We have this story. Here we are. We are on our way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. High holy days. This first part of the story tells us more about Mary and Joseph than it really does about Jesus. And it allows us to see them as a family anchored in faith. A family who travel together to do the ritual of celebrating Passover in the large crowd. On their way out, Mary and Joseph were being responsible parents, I'm sure of it. But tradition at that time was that the women traveled separately than the men. And Jesus was 12, so he was right in between the age when, as a child, he would travel with Mary. But as a man, he would travel with Joseph. So he's right there in between. If you talk to most 12-year-olds, they also think that they are right in between being a child and an adult. And we see that in this story. Have you ever lost someone that you were to care for? Many years ago, when I when my children were much smaller, I used to use their childhood stories as sermon illustrations. At that point, I was in full-time ministry. I needed something, and I used lots of stories from when they were children, until those stories came back at them. And I stopped using them for about 22 years until now. Sorry, Josh, but here's a story. So I have many moments of losing my children, but the first time I lost one of my children, and probably my most composed, true confessions, was when I was actually working at Grace. Columbine, because that's where we were before here, Columbine. And we took our youth group to see the Harlem Globetrotters. At that time, it was the Pepsi Center. And if you've ever seen one of those shows, it's tradition at the end of their game to sign autographs. Well, everybody knew that plan except for Josh, my oldest, who's maybe 10-ish, 11-ish at the time. I don't really remember that part because I just remember the panic that set in when I did as you do when you're supervising a crowd, taking attendance of all the kids. They were all there except my own. And I had that moment of sheer panic. And all of a sudden, all of the youth group, they were looking for him. And while youth are good at lots of things, finding stuff, maybe not always an adolescent's skill. But we set about and we were looking for him and we found him. I think it was all maybe 3 or 4 minutes. For me, for you, Josh, it was probably 3 or 4 hours of panic, maybe days. He was there with the donut lady. She found him, he found her, and he knew enough just to stay put. And the donut lady probably had many lost children in her days making donuts at the Pepsi Center, so she kept him safe. All was good. I was not quite as composed as Mary, I suppose, as I think about that and my heart races even now. My children will tell you far more stories of moments when I lost my mind, thinking that they were gone or weren't where they were supposed to be. This is a time when Jesus was lost. Mary thought Joseph had him. Joseph thought Mary had him. They assumed somebody was keeping track of him. And he was gone. You guys, they lost Jesus. This is a problem. This is a really big deal. The angels came. They gave them news. They needed to pay attention. They lost Jesus. Can you imagine the panic? The nice, gentle word that we have is anxious. We were anxious. I don't know about that. I fully imagine Mary in her light blue, because she always wore light blue. It was her signature color, of course. Joseph in his brown, also signature color, were there. And I can imagine there was a furrowed brow. There was an elevated tone. There was a hand on a hip, or maybe more than one. There was a, if you ever do that to me again, I suspect it was animated. The version we have kind of softens it a bit, and that's okay. But for those days, Jesus was missing. Have you ever lost Jesus? Have you ever thought you had him, and then he's gone? And you can't find him? Maybe you thought somebody else had him. Well, I don't have Jesus, but Justin has Jesus. So we're all good. Or maybe Avery has Jesus. But you don't have him. He's lost. He's gone. Where do you go to find Jesus? In our story, in our text, Mary and Joseph searched. And I can imagine for them, they didn't have the tools that we have today for sleuthing. They didn't have social media to look to see where his posts were. They didn't have a Find Me app, no Apple AirTag. They looked to the people who knew where Jesus was gave them guidance to find him. And when I think about when I've lost Jesus, because I have, the way I found him again was through the people who knew where he was, the people of faith. They pointed him out to me by showing me that he was in me all along. In those moments, when I've lost Jesus, when I've lost him in the busyness, the chaos of a crowded scene, when there were hundreds of people distracting me, when I was afraid, when I felt lost, when I was unsure, and I lost Jesus, I learned to turn to the people of faith who knew exactly where he was and could point me home. Just like when Mary and Joseph found him and they confronted him, of course, with their gentle and sweet ways, he reframed. He reframed their questions back with a question and reminded them that he was at home. He was in a sacred place, a divine space. And he reminded them that if they were looking for him, they could find him among the sacred. When we're looking for Jesus, we often start by looking for him among the sacred. We come to church, we read texts. We follow influencers who purport to have a strong faith. We buy a t-shirt with a Bible verse on it. Maybe the matching bracelet. We dust off the Bible and we We read it for at least a couple strong days in January every year. But we start by looking for Jesus in the sacred, among the holy. We try to find him at home in places that we've already identified as set apart and holy. This text affirms that we're on the right track, that that is certainly a place for us to find Jesus. And yet, we don't stay there forever. Because as this story unfolds and we hear more, we recognize that from this place, they go back home. This is, of course, where they leave the sacred and go to the ordinary. Because, friends, Jesus is in the ordinary too. When we've lost him, we might start with the sacred. But we don't want to forget that Jesus is in the ordinary. Jesus is in the elements of water. Jesus is in the bread. The very act of eating and sustaining our bodies reminds us of Jesus. Jesus is in the breath drawn in and the breath exhaled, in the very ordinary steps of very ordinary people. Kinda ordinary people like us. Jesus is there too. And so when we think about this story and we think about where it's taking us, we need to be reminded that it is in the ordinary, like us, that Jesus is also. So when we are guiding people home, bringing them to church, bringing them into sacred conversation, bringing them to prayer, we can be fully ordinary. It's okay to come just as you are, whatever that means. Maybe that's slightly anxious. Maybe you're having a full-on fit. Maybe you've not seen Jesus for many hours. Maybe you haven't seen him for many years. Maybe you're not even sure that you've ever even met him, really met him. All of that is okay here in his home. Because it's in the sacred and the ordinary. It's in the beautiful and the regular that we come together and we create a home that is open, a home that is welcoming, a home that allows questions to be asked, and a home that celebrates the answers of children. A home that says, you have a place here. We need you here. You are not just extra. You are important. For whether you know exactly where Jesus is and you can point the way, or you're looking for him, there is a place for you in this home. This home is a safe and soft landing place. It is a place where you can bring your doubts as well as your beliefs, your questions, and the answers that you're just developing. That's okay. Of all places, this is a place called grace. We know this here. We've experienced this here. I find this text at the very end of this calendar year. We know we're starting our liturgical year. We're just getting warmed up. But our calendar year says it's time to close out, time to close down, time to start afresh. Maybe your Christmas, like mine, the day after Christmas, the 26th, I don't know, 6 a.m., I'm taking the decorations down. Sorry, dear. Maybe that's how you live. Maybe you keep those up for days and weeks to come. Maybe you keep them up all year long. I don't know. But as we close out and we move into this text reminds us that as we move forward, our aspirational goal is not perfection by the standards of our society. Our aspirational goal is to bring others home, to bring others to Jesus. Maybe in a kind word or a kind gesture. Maybe by providing a meal for someone. Maybe by letting go of that time that they really made you mad. And if they just looked at you closely, they would know you're hurting. Maybe letting go of your fears of failure. Maybe letting go of the barriers that keep you from finding Jesus. As you reflect on your way home, on your way to Jesus, my prayer for you is that you will be surrounded by a home of people who can guide you and love you and carry you into that place. I invite you to pray with me. Jesus, there are times when we do lose you. We get confused. We get distracted. We get absorbed. We don't quite know how to sort out the things that are calling to us, and we lose sight of you. We assume that somebody else has you, and in a moment, that feels good enough. Surely someone is keeping Jesus. In these moments, Lord, we ask that you help us find you. Find you in our neighbor, in the person sitting in front of us, the person to our right, the person to our left, the person who thought they would come today but didn't make it, the person who's driven by multiple times and has yet to come through the doors. Lord, help us to find you in them. And for those of us who feel fully confident and anchored in our relationship with you, help us to guide others, not in a shaming way, but in a warm and welcoming way. We are your people. We come to this place to learn and to grow. We ask that you bless us in our questions. We ask that you bless us in our questioning. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to connect with Jesus as a teenager, even for a moment. We pray in your name. Amen.